So Sefer Shemos, Parsha Shemos, right? Obviously, it takes the whole Sefer takes on the name of the Parsha as well. And right off the bat, Shemos, which means names, right? So the name of the Sefer is names. And the reason why it's called Shemos, I mean, on a technical level, is because the very first part of the Parsha is about the names of the Shvatim, the tribes, the children of Yaakov who came down to Mitzrayim. Eilish Shemos B'nai Yisrael. These are the names of the B'nai Yisrael who came to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. His household, Reuven, goes through all the names of the Shvatim, goes through all the names of the tribes, the heads of the families. That's why, you know, on a technical level, why it's called that. But, you know, whenever we talk about the word shame, name, Shemos, names, a name, I've said many times, a name is an expression of the essence of something. The shame is the expression of a person's essence. So, for example, the word neshama itself, the neshama, the soul of a person, contains the word shame inside of it. Mm. So the shame, the name of a person is inside the neshama, or the neshama reflects the name of the reflects the essence of the person. The neshama, the shame, the name of the person is synonymous almost with the neshama, with the soul. And that's why we have all these traditions of reciting verses corresponding to our names. So at the end of the Amidah, we have certain verses which you can look up, which correspond to the meaning of a person's name. And then that's a way to understand one's neshama. And of course, who you're named after as well, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, all these different names of people you're named after also contain a window into understanding ourselves. The word shame, if you change the vowelation of the word shame from shame to sham, sham means there. Shame is name, sham is there. So really, again, a name defines what's there, right? A name defines what's in front of you. So a name is the essence of something. It identifies the nature of the thing, the nature of the person. And in that sense, you know, maybe you could say as well, maybe I saw this somewhere, that the entire Sefer Shemos, the entire book of Shemos, is a book about identity. It's about forming the identity of the Jewish people. Up until this point in Sefer Bereishis, the book of Bereishis, it's all about the foundations, the roots of the Jewish people. We don't have the existence of the Jewish people yet until the Torah is given, until the Jewish people come out of Mitzrayim. So the entire identity and raison d'etre of the Jewish people, and for that matter, the entire world, is coming into being in the Sefer Shemos. Mm. So it starts off with the Jewish people, the roots of the Jewish people coming down to Mitzrayim, the formation of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, the emergence of the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And it's really at that point of when the Jewish people come out of Mitzrayim, that's when the peoplehood of the Jewish people are formed officially. And then that nation of Israel then marches on towards Har Sinai to receive its mission, to receive the actual instructions of the mission. And then the culmination of the whole thing, the very, very last part of Shemos, last parasha of Shemos, the conclusion of the last parasha of Shemos, is the descending of the Shekhinah, the divine presence in the Mishkan and tabernacle. And that marks the end. So the whole of Sefer Shemos is a buildup towards creating the whole identity of the Jewish people in the world. And the whole shame, the shame of Klal Yisrael in the world, and then by extension, the shame Hashem, the name of Hashem, will be glorified as a result of the Jewish people. So that's perhaps one understanding of the word Shemos. Now, with that, so we have the names of the Shvatim, which begin the parasha, and then there's also a highlight of the names of Hashem in this parasha, as well as next week's parasha. So the era, also the beginning of the parasha's Ve'ira, also highlights the names of Hashem, because what we just said about names of people, names of objects, names of things apply to Hashem as well. The names of Hashem tell us about Hashem. So one of the most mysterious names of Hashem, which is in this week's parasha, is when Moshe comes to the bush, when he experiences the burning bush, and this is where he's being given his mission. This is the first time he's speaking to Hashem, the first time Hashem is speaking to him. And he's being given his mission to be the deliverer of the Jewish people. And this is in chapter 3, where that passage is. And there's a long dialogue between Moshe and Hashem. him being given this assignment to be the deliverer to take the Jewish people out. And in the midst of the dialogue, one of the salient components of the back and forth is that Moshe is reluctant, he's ambivalent, he's not sure if he can do it. Will the Jewish people listen to him? What will I say to the Jewish people? Do I have the ability? There's Aaron, my brother, who's better than me. There's a lot of back and forth, which goes on for a few days. It's really a remarkable, you know, back and forth. Here you are talking to the creator of the universe. The creator of the universe is being giving you this mission. You think back in terms of Avraham Avinu. You don't find such a thing with Avraham Avinu, with the binding of Isaac, with Akedah's Yitzhak. You know, there's no evidence of any back and forth and ambivalence, and should I do it, should I not do it, etc. Does it right away. Here, there's a back and forth, and that's a topic to itself. We're not going to go into it, but in the midst of this back and forth, he's asking, he's questioning, what shall I say to the Jewish people if they ask me what name you are? What's your name? What is your name? Who is this God? Who is this being, this God that has spoken to you to tell you that you should take us out and you're the Savior? What shall I say to them? So verse 14, Omruli, they'll say to me, verse 13, Moshe said to Hashem, I'm going to come to the Jewish people, I'm going to come to them, and I'll tell them, yes, the God of your forefathers has sent me to you. But they'll say to me, Mashemo, exactly who is he? What's his identity? Prove to me, prove to us who he is. What's his name? Mashemo, what's the name of this God? What's the name of this Almighty that has spoken to you? Who is he? Tell us more about him so we can feel more confident. We can feel more secure and more secure in this delivery that you are promising to us. So he says to Hashem, Ma Omar Aleim, what shall I say to them? What shall I say to the Jewish people? Verse 14. Vayom Elokim. So Hashem said to him, to Moshe, Eheyeh asher eheyeh. Perhaps I should pronounce it as Ekyeh asher Ekyeh. I may do that from this point onwards. This is a little bit of a distortion of the name because it's one of God's names. I'll get into more detail in a few minutes. Is it really a holy name of God that can't be pronounced? It's debatable, but we'll say Ekyeh asher Ekyeh. I'll be who I'll be. And this is you may have heard this phrase before, I will be who I will be. That's the name that Hashem said to Moshe that you should tell the Jewish people. I will be who I will be. And then it says, V'yomer, and then he said, who Hashem then said to Moshe, Kosoma l'bnei Yisrael, so shall you say to the children of Israel, Eheya shalachani, I will be, sent me to you. So what you see really is a shift in the verse. It goes from, I will be who I will be as the name, in quotation marks. And then it says, tell the Jewish people that, quote unquote, I will be sent you. So it's like a modification of the name. What's his name? I will be who I will be, or I will be. So first of all, we have to just understand, right? What does the name mean? What does the name mean in general? I will be who I will be. It's a very strange kind of name. So the Medrash, I sent you a text. I sent you the text to which Medrash was going to do.
Oh, okay.
So no, sorry, you didn't send this. Okay. So the Medrash Rabbah goes through the names, including this name, but goes through as an introduction other names of Hashem. There are seven names of Hashem altogether. The Medrash goes through four of them, including this one and this one as well. So it quotes this pasuk: "Vayomer Elokim al Moshe." Hashem said to Moshe, "Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel." Rav Abba Bar Mamel said, Amala Kadosh Baruch LeMoshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Shemi Atam Mavakesh Leda. You're asking me my name? Because that's what Moshe said to Hashem. Tell me what your name is that I should tell the Jewish people. So Hashem says back to him, this is all the behind the scenes of what's going on, the subtext of what's going on inside the narrative of the Chumash. Hashem said to Moshe, Shemi Atam Mavakesh Leda. You're asking my name? You want to know my name? Lefimasa Anai Nikra, according to my behavior, according to my actions, according to my conduct, I am described, I am known. Pa'amim Shani Nikra Bekel Shakai. Sometimes I'm known by the name of Kael Shakai. That's also a distortion of the real name. It's really El and Shakai. Okay, I'm not going to pronounce the name properly. It's a holy name. Sometimes I'm called by the name of Kael Shakai. Sometimes I'm called by the name of Tzavokos. And sometimes I'm called by the name of Elohim, and sometimes by the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the Yud-Hei and Vav-Hei name. So I have all these different names. The Medrash doesn't go through all the names, but four of the names it does. So he explains, Kishani Don Esabrias, when I judge the world, when I'm judging the world, Ani Nikri Elokim, then the name Elokim applies. So Elokim denotes judgment, strict judgment and justice. Kashini Osa Milchama Bereshaim, when I wage war against the wicked, Ani Nikri Tzavakos, I'm called Tzavakos. Literally, that means what's the word in English? Hosts, yeah. like Lord of Hosts. So when I'm judging, when I'm waging war, I'm called Tzavakos. Kasheni Tola al Chatoyav Shalodim, when I suspend the punishment of people when they're technically deserving of punishment, but I suspend that punishment, then the name I go by there is Kel Shakai. Mm-hmm. Kel Shakai, the word Shakai is a contraction of Sha'oma die, that he said die enough. Die means enough, mm-hmm. not die in the English sense, but die it means enough. So he's holding back. It connotes an idea of holding back. So when I'm suspending the punishment of the wicked, so I'm called by Kel Shakai. The Kishani Mirachim Alolomi, when I have mercy upon the universe, when I have mercy upon the world, then the name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's called the ineffable name of God. That's the holiest name of Hashem, by the way. Mm-hmm. The Yud Hei and Vav Hei name is the holiest name of Hashem. So you've got to be very, very careful when you're making brachas. Don't say that word in a vacuum. Don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei in a vacuum, Hashem or Ado Koi in a vacuum, because it has to be always linked to a pasuk or linked to a bracha where the bracha is enacted. But one of the meanings of the name, by the way, the commentaries say that these meanings which we just went through are only one of a few meanings for each one of them. So all of these names have multiple meanings as well. Medrash is just giving us some of the meanings of these names. But one of the meanings of the names of Yud Kei Vav Kei is mercy, is Rachmanis, mercy. Shein Hashem el midas rachamim, because the Hashem is the midah of rachamim. He's only but the midah of rachamim, of mercy, as it says, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanum. That's the 13 attributes of mercy, and it starts off with Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, repeated twice. So that name is mercy. So with all of these different manifestations, all these different appearances of Hashem, says the Medrash, Havei. So now you understand, Ehaya Sheehya, I will be who I'll be, this name over here in our parasha, Ani Nikri Lefi Masai, because I am described based upon my actions or my manifestation. So I'll be who I'll be means, depending on the situation, I'll be a god of war, I'll be a god of compassion, I'll be a god of justice, I'll be a god of all these different manifestations. So I will be who I'll be reflects all those other names together. Mm. Right? That's one definition of this name. That's one definition. The Medrash continues. Rabbi Yitzchak says a different definition. Amalak Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Moshe, Emolehem, this is what you should say to them by using this name. Ani Shehayisi, I who was, is Ani Hu Achshav, is the same one who is right now. Va'ani hu lasid lavo, and then the same one in the future, me, I'm unchanging. Now, this is referring to the essence of God. The pure essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is beyond change. There's no change. He's uniform all the way through. So he's saying, who I was in the past is who I am right now, is who I'll be in the future. And that's another definition of I will be who I'll be. Lekach kasiv, that's why it says, Ehyeh, three times. So in the pasuk I read before, when he said to Moshe, Tell them, I will be who I'll be is my name. Then the verse continues, and then he says, and tell them that I will be sent you. Now, he seems to change it. He seems to take out one of those I will be's. In the first time, he says, I'll be who I'll be. Then he says, but tell them, I will be sent them. But the very least, you see, there are three expressions I will be in the verse. And that, the Medrash says, alludes to I will be, I am who I was in the past, as I am in the present, as I'll be in the future, three times. But what is this? Why is he changing the name? Why does he first say, I'll be sent you? Then he says, but then tell them, I will be sent you. Like, what's the change of it? This is the third explanation in the Medrash. Another explanation, the Medrash says, I will be who I'll be. Rabbi Yaakov bar Rabbi Avina said, in the name of Rabbi Huna of Tziporin, he said, the Hashem said the following. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Moshe, He said to Moshe, tell them the following. In this affliction, in this persecution, I will be with them, and I'll also be with them. I'll be with them in future persecutions as well. Just as I am with them in this persecution and by their side, in this suffering that they're going through in Mitzrayim, I'll be together with them, always by their side in future persecutions and sorrows as well. So essentially, he's saying, I will be means I'm by your side. I'll be with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm comforting you. I'm empathizing you. That's the message you should tell them. But then Moshe quickly responded, Amar lefanav, Hashem, Moshe said back to Hashem, Kach Amar ani lehem, that's what I should tell them. Dai letzara b'shaita, it's enough that they should have this tzara, this persecution. You want to tell them about future persecutions as well? So that's why he says, so Hashem said, you're right. Therefore, don't say that. Kosoma, say to them, Lebnei Yisrael, Ehaya, I will be sent you. And that's the explanation of why the verse changes. Because it changes, because the first one implies, is communicating that they're going to go through more tzaras. So therefore, Hashem says, don't mention that. I'll tell you that. And the commentary told why Hashem tells him that. But that's the explanation. But the essence of the name, according to this, is that it communicates, you know, compassion and mercy, and being by their side. Now, when we're talking generally about the names of Hashem, we've got to be very, very careful, because we are, you know, going into Kabbalistic territory. We're talking about these names, and we've already seen that the names are so far expressions of behavior, manifestations of his midos, of the midos of Hashem. But in general, it's very worthwhile to be reminded of these ideas, because in the famous Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, so where he talks about, by the way, there's one more definition I forgot to mention. Another commentary I saw is, I will be who I'll be means I will only be who I'll be in the future. Meaning to say that my true essence is only going to be revealed in the future. I will only be in the future. I'll be who I'll be in the future. That's when my true revelation will be revealed. And it's actually for this reason why the commentaries debate whether or not this name is actually a name which is forbidden to erase. And that's why some people will say it, pronounce it properly, because it's really a name which conceals the true essence of what God is, because he's saying, I'll only be in the future who I'll be. I'm only going to be in the future. Only in the future will you know who I truly am. So it's intrinsically a withdrawing of a true identity of what Hashem is in the name itself. This is why some poskim say it's not really one of those names which are forbidden to be written down or be erased as well. But you know, all of these subjects, again, they go into this hidden area of Kabbalah, of the essence of Hashem. So I want to read to you this. It's a very important chapter from the Nefesh HaChayim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, the student of the Vilna Gaon. And he says, the title is called, Don't Delve into Hidden Things. So he says, all the fundamentals of the Torah, all positive and negative mitzvahs, are based upon the concept that from our perspective in the physical world, there definitely are different places. Obviously, we are here, we're sitting here, there's physical things. We don't doubt that. In places, so therefore, you know, this is how we experience everything. Without this human outlook, there's no reason at all for the Torah and the mitzvahs. We are living in this reality, which is our perceived experience. But from Hashem's point of view, he fills all the worlds uniformly, without any separation or differentiation. There is only complete oneness, exactly as before creation. But we are unable and even forbidden to attempt to understand this awesome concept as to how Hashem's presence fills all existence with undivided absolute oneness. As the Rokeach expresses it, do not delve into things that are beyond your comprehension. For it says in a Brisa, restrain your mouth from talking about this, but if your heart runs, return to the place. For that is the reason it says, and the angels, the Chayos, run and come back. This means if you reflect on the essence of the Creator, wondering about his omnipresence, prevent your mouth from talking and your mind from contemplating. Banish such thoughts from your mind. But if your heart runs after such thoughts, be quick to stop thinking about these things. Go back to basics. Go back to praying to Hashem, to be in awe of him, to do the mitzvahs. The greatest sages can understand these matters. That's a very powerful, very, very important message when we're going into these subjects. We're not doing that right now. We're talking about the midos of Hashem, the attributes of Hashem. And that's what all these names are mentioning. And the Medrash, is highlighting how he wages war, how he has mercy, how he has justice. And also this very beautiful message over here about how he is together with the Jewish people and the Tsar and their suffering. And it's very, very interesting when you think about it, because Moshe is asking Hashem, what should I tell the Jewish people? Here they are in dire straits, suffering, persecution. What's on their minds? What do they want to have happen to them? What they want to have happen to them? They want to be saved. They want to be redeemed. So any message and any word of redemption is so comforting. The first thing Hashem says to Moshe is, later on he says, tell them, we discussed this last week or a few weeks ago, pokod pekadati. He used those code words of pokod pekadati. I remembered them. That's a few verses later on when he continues on in the dialogue. Hashem then says to Moshe later on, he says, also tell them pokod pekadati, which was the code word. I'm going to redeem them. I will redeem them. Right? The God of Isaac has appeared to me, the God of Isaac. I surely remembered you. And those words, poko pekadati, we said, is a special code word for a signal that the redemption is coming. Those words really, and the verses here describe how Hashem is going to really redeem them. Tell them I'm going to redeem them. But the first message is empathy, is compassion. I'm with them in that tsar. That's the first name he says to tell the Jewish people. The first thing they have to know is, I'm together with you. And what a message that is. What a message in life that is, which we all need to hear this message. Perhaps sometimes they say men need to hear this message more than women need to hear this message. Don't solutionize. If you're going to solutionize, first empathize first. Be with the person first with their pain. Don't right away go in for advice and solutions and techniques of how to solve the problem. The first step is sit with the person. Just sit with the person with their pain. Many times people have the solution, know the solutions themselves. And they're not sharing their challenges and their pain to you because they want a solution. They're sharing them with you because they want to share. They want someone to be there with them. Right? So that's a major, and you see this over here, the first message that Hashem gives to Moshe to tell the Jewish people before a solution comes, or pokod pekadati, the first lesson is, I'm with them with that tsar. I'm with them. I'm sitting with them. I'm empathizing with them. And that's the first. It's a very, very applicable message in this name of Hashem. But this is the goal. The goal is always to look at the names of Hashem, and in based upon what it says in Devarim, that we have to imitate Hashem's ways. That's a commandment unto itself, to imitate Hashem's ways. So we're charged. We're looking at these names and thinking about these names of Hashem. And based upon, walking in Hashem's ways is to reflect on these names and to bring those names into our own behavior as well as a reflection of Hashem. Mercy, now, which means mercy, together with justice, together with it doesn't sound so good on the surface, but sometimes wars have to be waged. But mercy, suspending punishment, having mercy and not punishing, not being punitive. But on top of them all is mercy. Is compassion, mercy, the Yudke Vavke name of Hashem. But there's another understanding which I saw in this sefer over here, the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi was Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, the famous Hasidic masters, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. So he says that another appreciation in the name of I will be who I will be, right? Based upon this appreciation that we're trying to mimic Hashem's ways. So listen to this. I will be. Let's try to just meditate on this and to feel it. All right? Hashem is I will be who I will be. And we have to now approximate ourselves to that same, midah of I will be who I will be. So we had one is empathy. That was one of them. But let's just look at those words. Let's just think about and meditate on those words. I'll be who I'll be, who I'll be, who I'll be. I will become who I'll become. I'll become who I will become. I will become who I'll become. So what he says is, and I forgot to bring the actual piece which I wanted to read it from. So I'll become who I'll become means I will become what I will become. in the sense of I'm always growing. I'm always in the process of growing and developing. I will become something different to who I am right now. I am where I am right now. But wherever I am in my journey of life, there's always new levels, there's new vistas. And this is one of the most important things to always have in our mind throughout our lives, is whatever level I've reached, whatever step I've come to in my life, in the ladder of growth, whatever rung I'm on, not to be dissatisfied and not to be depressed and not to be elated and joyful over what we've accomplished so far. But the ladder of growth never ends. And I need to become something different. I need to go up into a new rung. I need to become something different. My Rosh Hashiva Zatzal used to say that there are people who excel in mediocrity, right? But they never stretch themselves to go to the next level. They excel in their little kind of daladambas of mediocrity, but don't go on to a new level. And they don't advance to see new horizons, new dimensions, and new levels of life, new levels of behavior, religiosity, Judaism, spirituality, new levels, new experiences, new dimensions, new levels. And that's the ladder of growth. I will become who I'll become. I'm going to become something more than who I am right now. I'm always going to be more. I will be. Also, he says that I will be. It's a repetition of words. It's a repetition, meaning to say that it's a step-by-step process. It's always a step-by-step process. There's never jumping. For example, you know, trying to jump before you run before you can walk. In Mishlei, it says, "Ots baraglayim chotei." Someone who runs with his feet is a sinner. So the Vilna Gaon said the feet is really the midos of a person. Someone who tries to jump in their midos, trying to jump to levels which are not really where he's at right now, is also a sinner. You got to go step by step. Everything is a step by step process. Yeah. But I will be who I will be is communicating the idea that there's always more and more and more and more that I can do. And I should never rest on my laurels. There I am right now. I've accomplished this much. I am who I am right now. I'm not who I am. That's saying I am who I am. It doesn't say I am who I am, right? It's interesting. It doesn't say I am who I am. I will be who I'll be, Hashem says. I will be something. I will be who I'll be in the future. Meaning to say, I'll be something more. I'm always growing. I'm always climbing higher and higher and higher. Being happy with where you are, but always looking, what's the next rung? What's the next level of the ladder? What's the next step that I can take? How can I become something more than I am right now? And that's another appreciation of the name, I'll be who I'll be. The Kedushas Levi says a very, very interesting thing, that the name of Hashem, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name of Hashem, the ineffable name of Hashem, which really, those letters, the letters of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei are in the letters of I will be, right? Heyeh, Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey. It doesn't have the Vav in it, right? But it has the Aleph it has an Aleph instead of a Vav, but there's a Vav in the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name, and there's an Aleph in this name. But the letters, well, let's just look at Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, he says. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that name. These letters are very unique in the sense of, they're the only letters, numbers, because letters have numerical values. Those letters, in terms of their numeric value, they are unique in the sense that, for example, a letter hey is five, and you multiply five by itself, what do you get? 25. Mm-hmm. The resultant number always has the same digit of the original number itself. So you multiply 5 by 5, you get 25. 25 by 25, you get still a 5, whatever the number is. There's always going to be the same digit, the original digit, the origin digit in the multiplication of that number. That's the case with 5 and 6 as well. 6 times 6 is 36. It's not the case with 2 or 3 or 7 or 8. But it is the case with 1, 4, 1, 5, 6, and 10, right? 1, 5, 6, and 10. So 1 is Aleph, which is in the name of Ehaya. 5 is Hey, which is in both the names of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and also I Will Be. 6 is Vav is 6, which is in both names as well. No, it's in Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name. And 10 is in both of those names, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, both of those. All those four letters all have this unique characteristic, multiplied by itself, and the digit, the resultant digit, will always, the resultant number will always have the same digit as the origin itself, right? That's what he says. An interesting thing, an interesting fact about the name of Hashem. What's it teach us? That he doesn't say this. This was my thought on it. That what's the message? There are two messages you could take from this. Number one message is about Hashem, which really is saying that no matter how much the world multiplies, no matter how much the world becomes more multifaceted, and as he in the expanding universe of the creation of the world, as the world was being created, and more, almost like layers of concealment, Hashem is, no matter how much expands, no matter how much it multiplies, and you go away from the origin is always there. Right? Hashem's presence is always there. As you move away, as the world expands and multiplies, and you're going away from the origin of the name, Hashem's name is always there, no matter what. That's one idea. And the other idea is it applies to this lesson for us in terms of mimicking the ways of Hashem, of becoming more than we are. It's saying to me that when I start my life off, I'm a neshama with tremendous potential. And as I grow, that neshama is expanding and manifesting itself over and over and over again on new levels of multiplicity as time goes on. And that's a message in the name I will be well be, is asking myself the question, you know, am I who I am, right? People say this, I am, take me for who I am. Take me for who I am right now. I am who I am. That's who I am. No, I'll be who I'll be. I'll be who I'll be. I want to look at new, I want to think about how I can become more. I don't want to settle for mediocrity. I want to think about what's my new level? What's my new step? Appreciate where you're at. Hold on and appreciate and have joy in what you have so far. What's my new level? What's my new mitzvah? What's my new observance? What's my new level of Yiddishkeit, of serving Hashem? What's my new identity? What's my new expression of myself? What's my new actualization of the root letter of the root letters of who I am, the root soul of who I am? What's that new dimension? I will be who I'll be. You're not a human being, right? That's what they say. We're not a human being, we're a human becoming.